You'll have to excuse me for just a minute. My mic and me are having a fight. And I'm not going to let it win. Okay, there we are. Good morning. I know you've heard that before this morning, but good morning. I pray and trust that all of you will have a great Memorial Day, family, food, barbecue, hamburgers. I better stop, you might be getting hungry. And but I'm glad to be here this morning. I want to take just a moment. Brother Wayne gave me a prayer request while we was in the choir. He's got a niece, I think it is. Isn't it Wayne, a niece? Lives in North Carolina that was in a bad accident. And her name is Mary. And we need to lift her up in prayer. Would you take just a moment and let us pray for Mary? Father, we thank you, God, for your love and your grace. And Lord, as Arbor just sang about our hero, our Savior, he's also our healer. And Lord, we're just so thankful that we can call upon you, that he's seated at your right hand making intercession for us. And God, we intercede this morning, God, on behalf of Mary. God, we don't know the extent of her injury. They don't believe that she'll even make it. But God, you have her in your hand. Lord, and life and death is in your control. And we just ask you to minister to Mary. God, Lord, your will be ministered to her, that you would bless her, God, with healing and just lift her up. God, Lord, that you'd minister to the family, give them peace and God and strength, God, to go through this ordeal. God, we just ask you to have your way. God, Lord, and bless. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I know it's kind of being a Memorial Day weekend that might be talking about freedom and stuff. Well, basically, I guess what I got to say is talking about freedom. Because Christ came, he died on the cross, he shed his blood, he washed our sins away, and we have been set free. We have freedom. And so I guess the title kind of makes it look a little like it's not about freedom, but it's all about freedom. And it's one thing that we need freedom more than anything. It's about our tongue, about our words. You know, when we began to look at Psalms 15, 1 through 3, we started looking at that three or four Sunday nights ago. And it's a very important psalm because it's where King David asks a question, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. If you read it with me, he said, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend." Now, in asking the questions about who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell in your holy hill, we need to understand that we can be in a place where we dwell in God's presence every day. And this is what David is talking about. This is a metaphor, a place where God is, in his tabernacle, on his holy hill. And when we become Christians, then we have become children of God, and we can stand in God's presence day after day after day. In order for us to dwell in our home, we have to meet certain requirements, mainly making monthly payments. If we fail to make the monthly payments, we know what will happen. We'll be given an eviction notice. I'm thankful that I've never been given an eviction notice, but there were times I wondered if we'd be able to make the payments. But God somehow provided what we needed in order to remain in our home. King David is asking who may abide and who dwell. And it's for us today. The tabernacle and the holy hill are not to be understood literally. They are figurative expressions that point to the divine presence and favor of God and the blessings of abiding or staying in God's presence, in God's grace, and in God's will. And that's what I want us to look at this morning, is what do we need to do? David wrote in Psalms 27:4, he said his greatest desire was to dwell or stay in God's presence all of his life. Is that your desire today, to stay in God's presence all the day of your life? And so what David basically is asking, how can I maintain and enjoy intimate fellowship with you, Lord? And that's what we really need. That's what we really want. The psalm does not deal with how one becomes a Christian, but how to maintain a close relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Today's moral failure is not because there's not sufficient standard of living from the Scriptures, but because of the human infirmity of sin that pops up in us when we stray from daily fellowship with the Lord and from not feasting daily on the Word of God. I think literally if we would think about the diet, the spiritual diet that we take daily, how much of it is the Word of God. That will cause you to grow, cause you to stay close, cause you to stay in fellowship with the Lord. That which would direct your steps, that which would help you to live a holy life. But what we have here is that we've got Christians today that are literally starving spiritually because they don't get in the Word. Amen or oh me. Article 7 of the Declaration of Faith, it says that we believe holiness to be God's standard of living for His people. And when it comes to holiness, church, we need to look at our walk, our work, and our words. A few Sunday evenings ago, I spoke about walking uprightly and walking righteous. And today we need to understand, we need to walk upright. That means that we need to walk in our integrity, walk in righteousness, walk as a man of God, walk as a person that is in harmony with God, that's at peace with God, that's walking the way that He wants us to walk this daily walk. But we also need to work righteousness. That's what the world needs to see, is works. Matthew chapter 5, it tells us that we are to show our good works before men so that they may glorify the Father. In Ephesians, it says that we were created for good works. This is what we need to be doing. That's what the world needs to be seeing, is our good works. Not seeing us to act like the world and look like the world, but showing the good works that God has created in us for us to do day after day after day. But this morning, I want to talk about He who speaks truth from the heart. I'm talking about the words that we speak. You remember the children's rhyme that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Brother Kerry came to me this morning before we began service, and he said, I think his mother told him, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. He found out she lied to him. And I'm telling you, it's not a truth. Because sometimes words are even more devastating than sticks and stones. I know when I was a child that my daddy took up a stick a lot of times. And it hurt, but it didn't destroy me. But so words can destroy you. And we need to be conscious about our words. King Solomon, who authored most of the books of Proverbs, mentions the tongue, the mouth, the lips, and words almost 150 times. That's about 5 times per chapter. Maybe because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he had a lot of words going on between the wives. I don't know, but it's something we need to address. If Solomon, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote so much about the tongue, it must be very important to our walking upright with the Lord, is the words that we use. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James said this in James 3:6-8, he said, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So we understand that the tongue is something that we cannot in ourselves control. When we are controlled by the flesh, it's the flesh that drives the tongue. If we're controlled by the flesh, it's that fleshly nature, that examining nature that's going to come out, that eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth or whatever. The tongue is a very powerful instrument, and when it's not bridled, it can cause great harm and great hurt. You know, the tongue speaks what is in the heart. The heart is the seat of the intellect, the feelings, and the will of an individual. It is the innermost being. It can also signify deep affection for someone, in our case, for the Lord. The scriptures tell us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in our text, it can mean the new moral nature of man who walks uprightly. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jeremiah 17:5 and verse 9 tells us this, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And in verse 10, God says this, I, the Lord, search the heart. God knows our heart, and we can't go by how we feel. I watched sometimes these movies on Hallmark, you know, and everybody's in love and everybody's so happy at the end, and a lot of times they use this phrase, this follow your heart, follow your heart. Well, according to Scripture, we can't follow our heart because it is deceptive. It can lead us astray. It can cause us more harm sometimes by following our heart than by following the Word of God. And so we understand that. Matthew 15:18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, he said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So think a minute. What is coming out of your mouth tells you what's in your heart. And we need to have a heart checkup daily to make sure our heart is in the right place. Consider the heart as a well. Many of us today, we live out what we call in the country. And we have to get our water from a well. And when my wife waters her flowers and her plants, she turns a faucet on and the water flows from the well. There's a pump that's about 70 feet down, pumping water from the aquifer, and she just turns it on, and it's there. In the pioneer days, the pioneers dug down until they found water, and then they would build a wooden frame around the well and drop a bucket into the water and draw the water out of the well. And what is in the bucket is what comes from the well. A few years ago, Eunice and Dave may remember this, my brother-in-law lived in Mark, the one I've asked you to pray for. Continue to pray for him. He's doing better. Still got a long road to go, but pray for him. But he lived in North Carolina in Hayesville, and we went up and spent a weekend with him, and Dave and Eunice went over there, and they came over to spend the day with us, and they started drinking the water, and Eunice said that there's something wrong with this water. Well, Mark and Sue get their water from an artesian well. And so we went down to see, you know, what was wrong with the water. It did have a kind of a taste to it. And when we looked in there, there was a dead possum floating in the well. And Eunice drank possum water. But it's what comes from the well is what comes out of the mouth. And that's the way it is with the heart. The tongue is a bucket that dips down and pours out whatever it is in the heart. It is clean, then good. If it is clean, then good is what the tongue communicates. If the heart is unclean, dirty, contaminated, unregenerated, uncontrolled, unbridled, this is what comes out of the mouth. It depends solely on the heart. And so if the heart is wicked and deceitful, what are we to do? Well, first of all, we need to cry out to the Lord as King David did in Psalms 51. In verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and do not take your spirit from me. And do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. What we need to do is like David did. We know David had an unclean heart. We know David committed sin. We know that he committed adultery. We know that he committed murder. He lied. Did so many things that was in his life. But he came to God because he knew God was the source, the one that would create a new heart in him. And he got the title of the man after God's own heart. That's where we need to be. We're still in this flesh. We're still having a war between the flesh and the spirit. And sometimes the flesh kind of rises up. And that's time when we need to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, there's something in my heart that's not right. Please create in me a clean heart. Romans 10 verse 6 says this, But faith's way of getting right with God says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. You see, when you got saved, your heart was clean and made like new by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out abundantly on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, the song says, what can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need to call out to God and to make sure our heart is right, because he said those that speak truth in the heart, and what comes out of the heart, what's going to come out of the mouth. In Ezekiel, God said this, I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart, so they will obey my decrees and regulations. Then they will truly be my people, and I will be their God. Thank God he has given us a new heart. Amen. Thank God that he's given us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, to teach us and guide us into all truth so we can speak the truth from the heart. Proverbs, Solomon again said this in Proverbs 15. He said, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil. It's Proverbs 16, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth to add and adds learning to his lips. An ungodly man digs up evil and is on his lips like a burning fire. We can see that today in our politics. All they want to do, the media, all they want to dig up something bad about somebody else. We're looking for the bad in people. We like to see the bad. We like to see the people, the suffering that they go through, or the trials that they face, or the things that are going on in their life. There's just something in us that we want to know. But we need to teach our heart what to say. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is the well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is worth little. And so our heart is very precious to us, is very precious to God. And that's what he tests, that what he looks at is our heart. We need to make sure that we have a clean heart. But I want to just share with you four ways an uncontrolled tongue shows itself. Do you know anyone who has not struggled with their tongue or suffered the brunt of someone else's tongue? Is there anyone here? I didn't think there would be. Recently we've seen or heard on the news about the wildfires in California, North Carolina, South Carolina, and most recently the wildfires in New Jersey. Uncontrolled wildfires can cause severe loss, destruction, pain, and separation. We saw the homes burned. We saw lives devastated, loss of practically everything that they had. No wonder James wrote that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It destroys lives. It destroys relationships. And it can destroy our testimony if we're not careful. I want to show you how an uncontrolled tongue shows its destruction and harm in our lives. First of all, deceitful flattery. We all like to be flattered. We all like to say, oh, that's a good job, or oh, you look nice. But sometimes flattery can be deceitful. Proverbs 4:24 said, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Proverbs 20:19, do not associate one who flatters with his lips. Webster defines flattery as to praise excessively from motives of self-interest. You know, a lot of times flattery is just that. The person that's doing the flattering is wanting something for himself. It's self-interest. What can I get from the words that I speak? The Hebrew word means smooth, literally means to deceive with words, entice or persuade. It's kind of like, and forgive me, there's used car salesmen in here, but they like to give you a smooth talk about all the great things about the car, and they don't tell you that the transmission is making a noise or whatever. And not all of them. I had an uncle one time wouldn't go to church because he said, for two reasons, insurance salesman and used cars dealers said, if they go to church, then they can't be Christian. I don't believe that. So if you're a used car dealer or an insurance salesman, bless you. God bless you and continue to bless you. But sometimes we use flattery to get what we want. Perverse words are words that are not right and not truthful. And as Christians, we're supposed to speak truth from the heart. In the Proverbs I just gave you, the writer is talking about those who speak words of deception, trying to entice or persuade for selfish reasons. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 8, he's talking about, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They were flattering Jesus Christ, but yet they did not believe in him. Their heart was far from him. They were using flattery for their gain. In Psalms 12, the writer writes this. He said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. Look around our world today. Do you see more godly men today than you saw a century ago in our nation, in our world? No, it's getting worse and worse. Ungodliness and lawlessness is running rampage. We're living in the last days. Church, we need to understand that the godly man is ceasing. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, every one with their neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speak proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? I want to tell you, you're not Lord over the tongue. The tongue is Lord over you until you have a regenerated heart and you've given that tongue to the Lord and the Holy Spirit controls that tongue for you. We need the Holy Spirit. Solomon said that a flattering mouth works ruin and harm. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But Jesus said this, I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Idle words are this. They are words that are useless. They have no merit, and they are words that come from an unregenerate heart. They are not idle words. They are spoken with truth from a good heart. That's why it's so important that we know where our heart is. Where our heart is. The second thing God hates is gossip. Gossip, slander, which is false witness in the word, or backbiting. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you been guilty of gossip? Someone said that Christians don't gossip, they just share prayer requests. I don't know. Sometimes too much detail can become gossip disguised as a prayer request. But I just want to talk to you a minute about gossip. Gossip is false or exaggerated, malicious statements that are discussed and or circulated about a person by other persons. Slander is making false and defamatory statements about a person. During the 2024 presidential race, ABC News commentator George Stephanopoulos made false statements about Donald Trump in hopes to dissuade voters from voting for Trump. The network and Stephanopoulos were sued by Trump and settled the case by paying Trump millions of dollars. Slander can cost you. There's a story in there about an Afghanistan man that helped people get out of Afghanistan, and one of the networks said that he was a one that's making money off of what he's doing, which was a false statement. He sued him, and today he's a millionaire because of slander, making false statements. Slander can be costly in many ways. Backbiting is saying mean and spiteful things behind someone's back. Through the scriptures, God reserves some of his severest words for gossip and liars and backbiters. Our text expresses what a Christian should do with gospel. He said, those who refuse to gossip or refuse to harm their neighbors with their words or to speak evil of their friends. That's what we're supposed to not do. We're supposed to refuse those things. Proverbs 10 and 18, he said, who spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 16 and 27, scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Proverbs 18 and 7 said, the fool's mouth is his undoing and his lips are a snare to the soul. Why is it that we have a tendency to listen to gossip? Do we like to hear of others' misfortune and troubles? You can't unsay just what you've said, and you can't unhear what you've heard. So it says refuse to be a part of that. Refuse to listen to it. Refrain yourself from it. What can we do about gossip and slander and backbiting? Proverbs 20 and 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Proverbs 21 and 23, it says this, and this is in the Living Translation, it says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. It took me a long time to learn that in our marriage. To keep your mouth shut. Third thing God doesn't like is arguments and angry words. Charles Swindoll, the great preacher that I love, he said, intelligent thinking and an unguarded open conversation include freedom of expression, which involves periodic differences of opinion. That's what they're wanting to take away from us, our freedom of expression. There was another Christian who got fired because he wouldn't use pronouns. Took away his freedom of expression. It's not wrong to have differing opinions or to disagree. We're not robots, but human beings. We think differently about a lot of things. Women are from Mars and men's from somewhere else. I don't know. We don't look the same. We don't speak the same language sometimes. Just look at the mess in Washington with our politicians. The Republicans and Democrats can't agree on most issues. There are protests in colleges and on the streets because we don't see eye to eye. Arguments and strivings have to do with attitudes such as stubbornness and pride and pure hard-headedness. Anyone who is married probably has to deal with these attitudes. Can I hear an amen from either the wife or the husband? I have, and the problem has been mostly me. Mostly me. As a young buck, centuries ago, I thought that I was always right. And she was wrong. We would argue. I would pout sometimes for days, wouldn't speak to her. Wasn't that Christian? Between the Lord and Sandy, I've learned that it doesn't matter who is right or wrong. It is not a question of agreeing or disagreeing, but how you deal with the attitude of stubbornness, pride, and rigidity, attitudes that stir up anger. Proverbs 17 and 14 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute begins. Proverbs 17, 27, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Proverbs 15, 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I know in the Bible it says man, 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 but I want to tell you, he's talking about woman too. We all have to bring balance into our marriage, and we have to be careful of the words that we say that can hurt and that can harm in a marriage or in a friendship, or in a relationship, or with your boss or with your teacher or whatever. Anger can get stirred up. It's an emotion. It's part of our Adamic makeup. Anger is not bad unless it's dealt with quickly. It can quickly become sins, like a cancer. We've all been angry. Jesus was angry when he drove out the money changers from the temple. What are we to do when anger raises its head? We're supposed to deal with it immediately. Ephesians 4:26, in the New Living Translation, it says, if you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. Nursing your grudge. Feeding it. We've all been there. There's not a one here that say, I don't get angry. And we nurse it. We just had a situation we had with some neighbors. And just wanted to tell you, it happens to everybody. They said some things that weren't true, accused us of things we didn't do. They brought out an arborist, and he come out, and our limbs were over the property, and he just whacked them all off. Got a one-sided tree there with no limbs on it. And it was hard for restraint. It was hard not to say something. The flesh wanting to rise up. But we as Christians have the Holy Spirit in us, Brother Chester. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to guide us in the truth. It's the Holy Spirit's going to tell us what to speak. We need to stop and pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to be a witness. Give me the grace to give to my neighbors. Control my tongue. Let my words be the right words. Don't let the sun, put that scripture back up there if you would, Julia. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly, for when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. A mighty foothold to the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold. If anyone is stealing, you must stop it and begin using those hands of his for honest work so he can give to others in need. And what's next, Julius? Is there another part to that? Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those who you are talking to. And that will give, and what will give them a blessing. Oh my goodness, that goes against our human nature. Our human nature is that if they hurt me, I'm going to hurt them back. But this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us, to all of us, to me, to Wes, to Eric, to all of us. Don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Wes preached on that 2 Sundays ago about grieving the Holy Spirit. Remember, He is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. That's the day we're raptured and caught away. Stop being mean. Bad-tempered, angry, quarreling in harsh words and dislike of others should have no place in our lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. And that's what we are doing with our neighbor. We're forgiving them because we feel that they wronged us, but we forgive them. And we will not quarrel. We will not use harsh words. We will not be mean-spirited, bad-tempered. We will not hold that anger. We will not let the sun go down on it. We've given it to the Lord. The Lord said that He will avenge if there's any avenging to be done. We're supposed to let our light shine before men that they may glorify God. And that's what the Spirit is trying to tell us this morning, is that God has forgiven us. We need to forgive others with the words that they say, the words that may harm us or hurt us. There's steps to overcoming anger. The first one is a want to. Put it away from you is what the Word says. Put anger away. Confess your struggle to the Lord. Hebrews 4 verses 15 through 16 tells us that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Go to the throne room to find grace and mercy in our time of need. If you feel that anger welling up, go to the throne room and get the grace and the mercy you need, God, to respond correctly. Yield to the Spirit of God, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Billy Graham, he said this, anger flees when the Spirit's fruit fills our hearts. Dealing with anger. And the fourth thing is boasting. Boasting and foolish jesting. Boasting comes from a person's pride. The pride that God loathes is not a healthy self-respect or a legitimate sense of personal dignity. It is that haughty, undue self-esteem out of all proportion to our actual worth. It is the repugnant egotism that is repulsive to both God and man. It is revolting conceit which parades its arrogance before men and struts in the presence of the Almighty. And the Bible tells us that God hates it. Proverbs 21 and 4, the things God hates, haughty eyes and a proud heart, a heart full of pride. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 6, it tells us, for men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be boasters and proud. And it lists a bunch of other things. And it says that they have a form of godliness but deny the power. He said, from such people turn away from. In Proverbs 15, he said, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Ephesians 3 and 4 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as fitting for saints. And remember, as fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. According to Life magazine, I think everybody here knows who Muhammad Ali is. And he spoke to a reporter in 1971 before his fight with Joe Frazier. And this is what they printed in their magazine article. This is what he said. He says, there seems to be some confusion. We're going to be clear this confusion up on Mark 8. We're going to decide once and for all who is king. There's not a man alive who can whoop me. And I'm too smart. And I'm too pretty. And I'm the greatest. I am the king. I should be a postage stamp. That's the only way I could be licked. You know what happened? Frazier beat him. God doesn't like boasting. He doesn't like our arrogance and our egotism. In closing, I just want to share, God gave us a voice so we could communicate with one another, that we can communicate with God. He gave us a voice that we can praise Him. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. David, in his prayer in Psalms 51, he says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Your praise. We're supposed to praise the Lord with our mouth, with our words. He gave us a voice so we can encourage and build up each other. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We're supposed to lift up, encourage, impart grace to the hearers. He gave us a voice to teach and preach the gospel, to make disciples. This includes warning others of sin's consequences. Paul said this about himself. He said, talking about Jesus Christ in Colossians 1:28, he said, Him, talking about Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Paul said in his prayer, David in his prayer in Psalms 51, he says, Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. He gave us a voice to sing, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord. And He gave us a voice to speak truth from the heart. He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness, and he who speaks the truth in the heart. Billy Graham said this, and I'll close. We need to avoid causing strife and the anger, bad temper, irritability, and self-centeredness that prompt it. We need to avoid abusive language and instead develop a spirit-controlled tongue. Would you stand with me? Thank you for listening this morning. Precious Father, we thank You. God, we do thank You, Lord, for the liberties that we have. And we are so grateful for the men and women that gave their lives that we could live in a country like the United States of America. We're glad, we're proud, we're honored to be Americans. And Father, we're also thankful, God, Lord, that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and shed His blood to set us free, free from the bondage of sin and from the power of the enemy. And Father, I know, God, Lord, that we fight against flesh and blood. Not flesh and blood, but against enemy powers of wickedness in high places. God, Lord, the spiritual world, God, that we're not very familiar with. But God, we're so thankful that Jesus Christ came. And Father, that He created a new heart, a clean heart in us through the shedding of His blood that washed our sins away. God, we're so thankful, Lord, that You've given us Your Holy Spirit. God, that You said, Lord, that would walk alongside of us to help us, but it also be in us to teach us and to guide us and empower us. God, we're just so thankful for Your love, God, that, Lord, it just overshadows our life. We know, Father, that we're loved and that You care. God, we talked this morning about something in Your Word that says that no man can tame, and that's the tongue, the words that we say. And I pray to God, Lord, for this whole congregation, myself included, Lord, create in us a clean heart. If there's anything there today, Father, that should not be there, something that would rise up and come out of our mouth that would hurt or harm a friend or a neighbor or a loved one or anyone. Father, Lord, give us that spirit control. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, take our tongues and sanctify them. Lord, let them praise you. God, let them carry the gospel. God, let them encourage and uplift. God, let them, God, be a blessing to others. God, Lord, let love be spoken and grace and mercy as you've given us. Father, take control of our hearts that our tongues will spew forth that blesses you and pleases you. Father, just have your way in our hearts and lives. God, Lord, that we can go into the world and that we can speak those things. God, that will convict, those things that will draw, those things that will help, God, our fellow brothers and sisters and Christians in our community. And the people in the world, God, we just need your guidance. We need your help, Father, to speak those things, God, that uplift you and point people to you and point their praise to you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.